brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hey there. Gather around. Grab a bottle of something comfortable.
Oh, there's lots of good bottles in front of us.
Because we're going to have a ball today. Welcome to another suds segment where we don't just sit around and drink beer all the time. Oh, no. Sometimes we have to go to the store and get more beer. And believe me, that takes effort sometimes.
Cut, paste, a new entry line, right?
You know what? If I had a button that
can
would,
we rate the entry
that
line?
Would express.
I give it a solid two. There,
that would
Dave.
Express how I feel about you right now. You know what?
You're
I'm
number
gonna,
one.
I'm going to give you a one finger.
A one finger.
All right. There you go.
Oh, so sweet. Well, I am one of your hosts, good old gal, Juliana. Today is a special episode, and the beer that I brought today to discuss is going to be Keeping Memories from Equilibrium. And joining me at the table today is good old boy Mike.
Hey, this is good old boy Mike. I have brought a beer from Beechwood Blendery. It is a Belgian lambic called Careful with that Aprium, Eugene.
Good old boy Sparky, hello.
Hey, I just wanted to reveal that I might be the illegitimate love child of David Caperton, but in the meantime...
Yes, yeah, I knew it was true.
I can grow that beard. but I brought from Blackberry Farms, all of them.
All of the farms.
Their classic Saison Belgian style.
Good old boy Tim.
Hello, good afternoon. I brought to share with us this is good old boy Tim. Timing is my specialty.
Thank you. Yes. Hey, Tim.
Do you need some cue cards?
Thank you for sharing yourself.
I couldn't see what she was
you
holding up.
You need that with side, so, you know?
I brought
you know.
Good old boy Tim.
You are good old boy Tim.
Dave's legally court obligated to have me here. So that's all. That's the only reason I'm here. But I brought our finest regards barley wine by Pretty Things, and it is a 13-year-old beer, so it hopefully doesn't taste like soy sauce, but we'll see.
Okay. Good old boy Dave. Hi.
Hey, this is good old boy Dave, and I brought good old boy Dave and good old boy Tim. I brought Mr. Mingo from Gesture King Brewing in Austin, Texas. It is a 5.2% farmhouse ale with hibiscus.
Well, today's episode is our second annual bottle share to celebrate someone who left us way too soon. On October 4th, 2022, we lost a very dear friend and member of the Sip Suds and Smokes family, David Cornelius Caperton III, a.k.a. Good Old Boy Caperton. He passed away unexpectedly, and we all still miss him terribly.
There are a few people in the world who were more passionate about Saison. Good old boy Caperton drank them and brewed them. He was never afraid to praise the ones he liked, and he definitely was not afraid to critique the ones he didn't.
This might be a good beer, but it's not.
It could have been if you hadn't messed it up.
Right. Yeah. But then there's this one, right. But then there's that. So today we are having a bottle share to celebrate good old boy Caperton and to share the beers we think he may have enjoyed. Good old boy Sparky, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
Sure thing. We're going to be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. One, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Dave.
I was getting there. I was pouring a beer.
Number two. Was that a belch?
See, I got that one.
Yeah. Number three. What a relief. Number four. A body should really not make that sound. And number five. Listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Oof, God bless. Okay, so, good old boy Mike, why don't you start it off for us?
Yeah, so our format today for this episode is each of us has picked a beer that is a bit of an homage moment, you know, with Caperton. He was just such a huge fan of the style of the beers that we have selected for today. He was absolutely the Saison man of the Southeast, for sure.
He was stronger than all of us. He was bigger than all of us.
And he was such a fan of a lot of really great sour beers as well. Loved Belgian lambics, fruited Belgian lambics. All things infected. You know, he actually worked in a hospital.
He loved infections.
And so he was around infected people all day long. So each of us has selected a beer that is very much a beer that we would have sat down and shared with Caperton. So the beer that I brought is from Beechwood Blendery. It is called Careful With That Apron, Eugene. So it's a there's a little bit of a story behind the name of the beer. A couple of people walk into the woods and are chopping at each other, and somebody loses that contest and gets whacked through that. So that's where the name of this comes from.
From one of the greatest bands ever, Pink Floyd, on the Relics album, in case you care.
So if you did not know what an apium is, that is okay, because a lot of you probably don't. It is a stone fruit. That is actually a hybrid between apricots and plums. So very similar to apricots. Apriums are complex. They're plum apricot hybrids that actually show primarily apricot traits and flavors. So
is that like a pluot?
So it's in the same family. So the pluot is actually another hybrid version of plums and apricots as well.
Pluot is more plum forward.
It is more plummy. That is correct. Yeah. So apium trees actually grow quickly and are usually compared to something that I can't read along the line that I'm looking at right now. So anyway.
Look, you can't read that's now.
Really, that's really the very key thing is
what's
that
up,
they're
Grandpa?
Actually, they're very late harvest ripening. So these are like the last fruits that you're going to pull off of the trees, you know. So you'll get plums usually very early on. You'll get, you know, apricots kind of in the middle of the harvest, and you'll get apriums, you know, kind of late in the harvest season. So
the final fruit.
Love Beechwood. I can't begin to tell you enough fabulous things. Dave and I have been to the Long Beach brew pub.
Food's good
as
too.
Well. The food was absolutely amazing. They have actually expanded quite a bit. I was surprised. I knew that they had a production facility that is in a different part of town, and they've actually expanded to 5 different locations that you can actually purchase and enjoy their beers on tap, as well as they have really great distribution still. So two sides of there's a clean line side of Beechwood, and then there's the blendery. So they have a you know, a lot of good creativity on, say, both sides of the coin or the wall, you know, to keep one side infected and the other one pure and clean. This is a Belgian lambic style. Again, that's fruited with apium. This is at 7% ABV, which is kind of high for, you know, a lambic style. What do you guys think of this beer?
Freaking delicious.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, this is like this brings me back to when I really enjoyed sour beers, like back in the day.
Absolutely.
You know? I didn't know what an apium was, but I mean, I just assumed it was like peach
or
something.
But you taste both parts.
Yeah, the stone fruit for days, delightful.
And then the plum comes out like right at the very end.
This beer has been gently cellared for 8 years.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the lambic sourness that I really enjoy. There's, you know, a hint of vinegar, but nothing that like dominates, but you just get like a nice acetic note, but not overwhelming.
Yeah.
And my teeth aren't peeling, you know.
No jaw clinch.
I don't have to brush my teeth tomorrow.
Comment there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caperton would have loved this.
Oh my gosh, he would have. Yeah. And I know he would talk about like the stoniness of it too. I just love the fact that like there's the barnyard. It's there. It greets you right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit of like that lactic acid, but the fruit is still like kind of riding the wave on top throughout. And it's just so nice because apricots and plums, they're such a delicate fruit. And for them to come out like this, you know, throughout but not overwhelming, it's gorgeous.
No, and I love stone fruit. And I think sometimes I've had stone fruit beers that are just way too acetic, and this is clearly not the case here.
Well, the thing that look at this beer, I had it when it was first released and fresh, and then this bottle that I've actually had gently cellared for the last 8 or 9 years, and this is a great example. We've talked about cellaring beers on the show many times. Time has been very kind to this. This is just perfectly aged, just the way that it is right now. So, I would say that the folks at Beechwood, if you've not gone back and tasted your beer after 8 or 9 years, it is right at the tippy top of excellence.
You're doing good.
Send more.
Yeah.
We need it.
Yeah. Well, let's rate this beer up. Everybody, what do you think about this?
As if there was a doubt, we are going to rate Careful With That Apriam, Eugene, a 5.
Well, I wasn't intending to knock it out of the park, but I think that Caperton would have proved very much of that rating for sure. And,
this is really nice, man. Yeah. This is really nice, man.
It doesn't have suck, Mike. Yeah, can I have some more? Yeah, that would be probably how he would go about, you know, that conversation.
Well, we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is our second annual bottle share to celebrate one really a good guy that we lost too soon. His name was David Caperton, otherwise known as Good Old Boy Caperton. And today we're doing a bottle share in homage to Good Old Boy Dave and drinking some of the things that he would drink and
some he would like, some he would. Oh, this is hard.
Yeah. Right. They're not exactly all going to be winners. Yeah,
somehow, I think this next beer is something that
I knocked it out of the park.
I think he would say was very enjoyable. Good Old Boy Sparky, what did you bring to the table today?
Well, I brought, there's in East Tennessee, there's a series of farms. And they're all called Blackberry.
There's about a dozen.
Maddie's head explode.
Yeah, like a dozen of them. Right.
There's at least like 12 to 72 farms that are all named Blackberry. And one of the really cool things is that they've all consolidated to create one brewery. Yeah. Yes, that's called the Blackberry Farms Brewery.
we're harassing a mutual friend that is the brand ambassador for this.
Telling a true story, probably, Dave. Yeah, I mean, there's so many Blackberry Farms, and I'm so glad that they all got together to make one beer. So, Blackberry Farms is located in East Tennessee and powered by Ruby Tuesdays and... and really created some of the greatest saison. I think it's like one of the best saisons in the country, and it was always one of Caperton's favorite. And I have to put a pin in this. Do we have any scratch going on here?
We don't today.
Okay, that's great. So I'm safe going
we
back to the farms.
Sparky would not be great with scratch yeah. beer. So
the last time I was told I brought bottles of dirt, so y'all aren't getting any more of my scratch beer.
It's true. So if you look at this beer, I mean, God, what an amazing saison. And it's a shame because I believe they've sold to another, they're probably going to be changing the name soon. I don't know if this saison is going to continue, but God, if you look at the head on this, it's just classic saison head.
And it's from the bottle as well. Like I know that the bottle and can used to be different in terms of like bottle conditioned, all that. I don't know if they're still.
I can't speak to that either, but this, I mean, like you just pour it and I think you poured some and I just noticed it just overflow. Like, yes, that's exactly what's supposed to happen.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's delightful.
We've talked about a lot of Blackberry Farm beer on many, many shows and farms. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In your eye again, Manny. This is by the hand of Roy Milner, great friend. I have to say that it was really cool to be there at the moment of looking at the wide variety of recipes that, you know, Roy was considering when this beer was, you know, going through a wide range of choices, great choice of yeast, just so classic. Even as I look back on this beer, you know, 14 years later now, it's actually better than DuPont. I can't believe I'm saying that. But it is just every bit of everything that Roy was chasing to create a really great American Saison. I know that Caperton would have just enjoyed this every single day of the week if he had his choice. So it's just such a fabulous beer. And I know a lot of people will still enjoy this even through a change in ownership there. But I think it's really great today.
And there's one thing I also wanted to say about Caperton was he was an Army guy. He like served his country and was in the medical profession. But there's one thing about Caperton is there's really two things that he hated a lot. I think one of them we're going to get to a little bit later on. So one of them was kudzu for sure. And the second thing was, man, that guy really hated Nazis. Like nobody, nobody I've ever met.
It's weird, but yeah.
Yeah, that was true.
It was really strange.
He had no space.
Well, let's rate this up, and then we'll enjoy a kudzu report from Dave for sure.
It's a, yeah.
All right, so we're going to kind of go back in time a little bit to a beer or an episode. I think it was Maine Beer Company. The episode I believe is called Peeper Is My Code Name. And this is not the first, but it is definitely one of the cooler kudzu reports that good old boy Caperton used to do.
All right, folks, I'm back to warn a largely unsuspecting populace of the many, many threats that are posed to us by the green invasive horror that is known as kudzu. Maybe some of you listeners may be familiar with this bit, but today we're going to talk about some pretty specific stuff, so try to hang with me here. The green menace that creeps up to 2 feet a day wherever it takes root, and that's no joke. I mean, that's
legit.
That's legit. I mean, feet,
that's how many I have.
You don't see it, but it's moving, right? Well, we already know this, and we already know that it can overtake our yards, consuming our personal spaces, and possibly any slow-moving seniors and toddlers who may be out there loitering. But did you know? That's, yeah, exactly. I mean, toddlers, guys, come on.
Think of the children.
Out of hand. But anyway, did you know that a very important facet of our daily lives is affected by our ecosystem itself. I don't even, that's kind of botched that. According, it can affect our ecosystems is what I'm trying to say. Kudzu can. And according to Al Gore's interwebs, an ecosystem is a biological community of interacting organisms and their physical environment. Think of it this way. Plants feed animals, right? And if we're lucky, both plants and animals will feed us. But once this slow motion green tsunami takes root, it can form a blanket over land, trees, vegetation, making it difficult or nearly even impossible. Nearly even.
Wow.
Nearly even impossible.
Powerful. That's deep.
For light to get through. And we all know photosynthesis. I don't want to get too deep.
Too late.
Don't make me get deep.
It's pretty deep, dude.
We're deep
but
in
the,
it.
But the, we are. The vast majority of the underlying plants underneath this canopy are just going to die off because of lack of light. You following me here? You guys with me?
I'm with you.
Oh, thank you.
We're in the trench.
Let me get an amen. Yeah. Only the hardiest plants will survive the suffocating effects of the dreaded kudzu infestation. It's sort of like nothing but poison ivy and kudzu will be left. And then where are we?
Itchy.
Where are we?
Very itchy.
Not in a good place. I'll tell you, it's like a biological Lord of the Flies out there in our dang old ecosystem. And we've, you know.
Dang it.
It's, you guys are laughing. It's not funny. Okay. But
yeah, wait till your bottom line is
I ain't going to let it happen on my watch, folks. So please join me and the many others by eradicating this pest wherever you may find it. Our flipping ecosystem itself may depend on your very help. So thank you.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That is just
classic.
That is absolutely a highlight of the day. You know, I remember when I was chatting with Caperton about we really needed like a recurring bit, you know, and I actually had more like a dozen of these in my head, and we may reinvent some of those at some other point in time, but I was talking about it with Dave as we were sitting with, you know, some beers one evening, and he was like, "Well, I really hate kudzu, Mike." And I go, just like out of the thin blue air, you know, and I'm like, "We could work with that.
I can make that
happen, you know." And so we decided to do it, you know, as basically like a newsreel style, and you know, it was like one bad idea after another, just kind of wound
from
Peoria. Up. Yeah, right.
You know, he was very cut and dry. Like he either liked something or he
it was dead to him.
Yeah, and I love the fact that he wrote like half of him himself, and the other half I wrote. And I thought always what was so funny is that he was just so deadly serious, you know, about the way he delivered it. It was just,
oh yeah.
But I think my all time favorite was the robot one, which maybe we'll play that next year. Mm-hmm. But another episode was where he finally decided to take a non de plume name as being the master abater. And so actually Juliana is wearing one of the t-shirts that we created as a result of that episode that actually has master abater on the shirt, and you'll be able to purchase those on a link off of our website. So really great, and thanks Dave for bringing that today.
Yeah, man.
Next beer.
Good old boy Tim.
All right. Well, so the beer that I brought today is a barley wine from Pretty Things that is...
Oh, may they rest in peace.
Mm.
They're back.
Are they done? I don't know.
Are they back?
I thought they moved to England and they're brewing
again. I know they left.
But they're not in the States.
I don't even know this brewery. I don't know this brewery.
Oh, yeah. they were a rogue brewery.
Yeah, they were a gypsy brewer.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Stopped production. I remember the day because I was in New York City at the time. And I was actually walking through a Whole Foods, and I saw they had some Pretty Things beers that were there in stock. And I was like, oh, I don't want to see that go away out of the cold case for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Great barley wine.
Yeah. So
they were Somerville based, but they were.
Yeah, it says Westport. Yeah. Up in Mass. So Capers and I lived near each other and shared many a beer at mostly my house. Went over the years, just kind of had the similar beers, I don't know, flavors or styles that we enjoyed. And our significant others didn't really drink much beer or any beer. And so we just found solace in hanging out the house and drinking beers all the time. And so this one's kind of like a double story in that I'm sure you guys remember, I don't know, it was like 2016 or something when Jeff Gish.
Yeah, like
he got sick and then you know,
Gugu
passed away. R.I.P. I didn't know him personally, but he was, you know, a big member of the Nashville beer community early on.
Another great guy,
absolutely. Super great guy. Never, you know, everyone always had great things to say about him, and to the point when he got sick, they held these raffles of all of his beer cellar, and Caperton and I went in on a box with the idea. Obviously, he just drank the box down. And so this is one of the last beers that I have.
Of Gish's box, really?
Yeah, yeah, that's a Jeff Gish beer.
Son of a gun. That
Capers and I were supposed to drink together.
Thank you for bringing it, man.
Obviously, that's never got to drink together. So yeah, obviously, who better share with than you guys? But it also, I was looking at other beers and there's like, you know, the safe picks and the whatever, and those are great, but I was like, well, this one could suck. You know, it's super old. But that's like also part of the adventure. And I think it's what we enjoyed with Caperton is opening a bottle and you don't know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You taste it together and you just, I mean, and some beers he liked, I didn't, and vice versa. But I remember the box, we had no idea it was going to be in it. I remember like, you were going to get one KBS or something like that. And otherwise it's just
a
crapshoot. Yeah, yeah. We drank a bunch of them. And yeah, you know, this is just one we didn't get around to doing.
This is tasty.
It is.
And it held up.
It doesn't suck.
Yeah. It really is good.
Well, but it's a barley wine and it's a good barley wine.
Nice and caramel, cola. Yeah.
Yeah. And Caperton and I talked a few times about Pretty Things. I was a big fan because to me, they were the precursor of Zebulon in the sense that Zebulon is known for taking those old world styles and bringing them to life.
Yeah.
And Pretty Things did that as well. Okay. They did pre-prohibition beers, et cetera, et cetera. And like some of them were way out there. But for them being this, as I call it, a rogue brewery,
uh-huh,
I was such a big fan of theirs. And I would have to go to Kentucky back in the day to get them because they weren't distributed in Tennessee.
Oh.
So I go to Bowling Green all the time. And then when Caperton and I became friends, when we would go to Bowling Green and get some beer, I would always like hold some back and then give to him. But yeah, and then I remember when they were going out of sale, I drove up to Bowling Green and bought like 6 or 7, whatever was available at the time, just because I didn't want to let them go. Like I was just such a fan of what they were doing.
Mm.
And also they were calling out like that pay to play kind of thing that was going on in Boston where, you know, you would have to pay for the end cap and they just couldn't compete with that.
Buy the fridge so you get your tap on, yeah.
Right. Anyways, so this is very, very
and our finest regards, this particular beer was always one of the best Pretty Things beers.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, yes.
They had a lot of really cool ones, but our finest regards, I think, is a good name for the beer because it was.
Well, I think the thing that strikes me about this is really showing again, you know, a conversation about cellaring beer properly and really enjoying it, because barley wines, you know, usually when they're first made and you're purchasing them, they're so abrasive. I mean, it's literally like tasting sandpaper, you know, it's on your palate. They're just so abrasive and overtly hoppy that, you know, you almost have this conversation, as I did with Caperton, with many, many beers, going, oh my gosh, this is not good now, but this is going to be really good like 10 years from now. And, you know, barley wines, really enjoy quite a bit of time to come around to this point. This is like a smoked caramel slowpoke is the best way I can describe this from a flavor profile. Sure. It has like 20 layers of sugars, and it's really wonderful. Thank you so much for bringing this, Tim. And Caperton really would have loved the moment of just being patient, you know, to open this, and he would have said, "Finally."
Yeah, exactly. we waited the right amount of time.
Took you long enough.
But yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's rate this up and move along, guys. We've got some more great beer to chat about.
I'm a fan of a 5. I'm going with the 5. We're going with the 5.
All right.
All right, Mr. Miyagi.
I brought Mr. Mingo. This is a 5.2% Saison from Gesture King Brewing in Austin, Texas. And I read up on this. Yes, that's right. A little bit about this beer. And they wanted to make like a simple Saison, which they did. But then I think it's got Columbus hops. But then they added hibiscus flowers in the boil. And then they dry hopped or dry flowered with more hibiscus at the end. So Julie and I, when we saw this at the store, we were talking about how, you know, Caperton was a huge home brewer, and he brewed mostly Saisons and stuff, but he had started experimenting with a lot of teas at one point during his home brewing.
Yeah, he teabagged me once.
Of course he did.
No.
I don't know where to go with that. I mean, I think he teabagged us all.
No, he gave me a nice bag of teas. What do you?
No, that's what I meant too. Yeah, that's dude. Yeah, that's totally it. Okay, we should probably go to break right now. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but anyways, because Caperton brewed with tea, we thought this would be a nice beer to bring to the show today and try, and so. Yeah, wow, Sparky, you really kind of jacked me all up there.
It's a great beer. The hibiscus flavor does come through.
Well, we'll talk
we'll
more
be back
about
with
that
more in just a minute.
No,
yeah,
no tea bag.
Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is the second annual bottle share to celebrate our good friend, good old boy Caperton, that was taken from us way too soon. And in celebrating that, we've been talking about a bottle share here today of the things that Caperton would drink and his reactions at times of how he would feel about it. So right before the break, good old boy Dave started talking about the beer that he brought today.
Mr. Mingo from Gesture King. A Saison with hibiscus. What
I'm
do you guys
say
think
something
about
something very Caperton, which is, I don't know about this hibiscus, guys. So, you know, I think he, it's always, you know, a very delicate thing when you kind of step down this path of kind of trying to compete with floral components, you know, in a beer. Sometimes it really works exceptionally well. You know, to me, there's this bitterness and then there's the flower. They're kind of like right there that are the core part of, you know, the flavor of this beer. And I keep on going back and forth going, you know, they're in balance and in check and then they're a bit off. And I don't know, it seems like every other sip I'm kind of drawing into a different conclusion. It just, I don't know, there's something missing. I can't quite put my finger on it. There needs to be a base sugar component that needs to kind of hang on to both of those things and kind of grab a hold of them and go, yeah, you know, you're bitter and you're floral, but I'm sweet. I need to stay in the middle. And that's kind of missing from this taste profile
I think
for me.
You're that sweet component in the middle, Mike.
I don't know. I'm a fan of this. I like the hibiscus. I like the teeness of it. And this is something that I could see Caperton Brewing is something like this.
Yeah.
This feels like batch 8 of 40.
I see what Mike's saying about like the sugar kind of help carry both and sort of wed them together.
I would say add honey.
But yeah, although I mean that wouldn't necessarily
I think you would
come
just
out
dry it
sweet.
Out. Yeah.
That would dry it out more, but I do like it. I think it depends where you approach it from. Like I'm with Juliana in terms of like hibiscus tea and things like that. And you do get that like slight astringency, you know, maybe depending on how long you steep it or something like
slash
that.
Slash vegetalness kind of
yeah,
thing going
and
on.
It,
yeah.
And it can blend with the hops if you're a fan of that sort of, but if you're not, it can clash. But I do enjoy this. But maybe just cause I think he would enjoy it. And so I'll say I like it too. But
fair.
I think it has a little tartness.
Okay. Well, the majority says that we're going to call Mr. Mingo a 3.
The majority being Mike.
There's
that's
that.
Cool. That's
you
cool,
could be man. Right, Mike, but you're not. That's what Caperton would say.
Yeah.
that is what he would say.
So,
and if you don't like it, pass it over here. I'll have more.
Yeah. Right.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
So the beer that I brought today is called Keeping Memories from Equilibrium Brewery. And I mean,
does anybody have it?
The name is appropriate.
Oh, the new Reverend Mark. I see.
Oh.
Wow.
The name in itself, you know, drew me in, but also the fact that Equilibrium is in the Hudson Valley and Caperton and I had many discussions about that little beer culture area and just how they were exploding between them and Hudson Valley and then Plan B and Poughkeepsie and like, you know,
Suarez.
Just
Plan B, yeah.
And Suarez. Yeah. Like that region.
Huit La Coche.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Exactly. So this is Equilibrium's first Solera beer. Which uses fractional blending to generate an ale with a unique distribution of aged components. And I thought that was...
I honestly don't think that I've ever had a Solera-based Saison, like ever.
Okay.
That's really unusual.
Well, there's that.
So if you...
But it's like is it a sour Saison?
It's a farmhouse like ale.
Yeah. So if you don't understand the unique difference from a production standpoint is that... So Solera beers, what they're doing is they are borrowing from Peter to PayPal, basically. So they, you're moving beers, along and it's a little bit like a back set that you would do constantly if you were, working with beer where you're constantly pulling things off and keeping the same yeast in line. Here, what you're doing is you're actually working with beers at different point in time. So you have things that have been aged for a certain period of time that are blended with something that's much younger and then blended with something even younger than that.
So it's like lambic.
It is a little bit way. Like lambics that are blended between 1, 2, and 3 years that are in gousses. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little different than like traditional blending. You would select barrels or you would taste all these barrels, you know, define
post fermentation, right?
Yeah, define profiles, yeah. And then depending on what you're trying to achieve, use those to
but
create.
You're constantly
that.
With a Solera, you're constantly
blended
taking
in fermentation.
Beer out of the barrel and adding new right. stuff into the barrel,
yeah.
And you're never going to taste exactly the same
so
thing.
So, that's the big difference yeah. between Solera and blending is these are actually done in the middle of the fermentation cycle itself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you have one, you know, a lot of people, when they did American sours and stuff, you'd have one culture that was your house culture that, you know, like
you
wicked weed.
Feeding
you could
off.
Taste that anywhere and know what it was.
Yeah.
And so when it's all in the same vat, you pull a certain amount off. Bottle it, whatever, and then add that fresh wort in, or fresh, usually probably fermented beer, and then it sours in that same culture.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, I mean, you can do the same thing in separate barrels, but It's just a different tool.
Well, the first word that came to my mind is squeaky clean lemon.
That's like some four words, dude.
Really?
Yeah, and there's also lime too. So it's like it's for me, limey. This is a bit of a citrus overtone. Yeah, to me, it's neat because it's like lemon up front, and then it's lime towards the end.
And that's why I was asking about like a some sort of culture. Like, you know, there's a good bit of acid and maybe not sourness, but tartness to it, more than like that phenolic or bubblegum or whatever area it can go toward.
I think the one thing that Caperton would have said in all of us is, I never had this before.
Right.
Yep. This is very unique and very different in the production process itself as well as the outcome. I mean, this is just this is super solid. I really love it.
I think it's just incredible. It's just enough. Like, it's just sour enough.
Yep.
It's just tart enough.
Just saison enough.
It's just saison. Like, it's and it gets right up to that point on all the notes.
And then, and of note, this is a collab with Keeping Together in Chicago. So just kind of neat.
What's
how
the, like the date or anything?
It does not say the date of when it was.
This is something I would want to have with something that's super fatty,
January 21.
Wow. You know, it's chocolate grenache.
Bright and fresh.
A brie, you know, cheese, something that's very kind of fatty on the palate. This would be the perfect pairing. You know?
I'm told that I'm pretty fatty on the palate.
Some pork belly.
Of course you
will. We'll write you a hall pass.
Yeah.
So, really great beer, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. All the way.
Yeah, I love this.
All right. Glad you guys like it. We're going to rate it a 5. Keeping Memories from Equilibrium. Okay, so we got time for a couple of others, and you know we
and
had
a good
some
story,
and we had some extras lying around. So these next two beers that we're going to talk about are from Fonte Flora, which is a great brewery that we are all very
North Carolina.
Yes, the Whirlpool Farm, the Ripperwill, sorry, farm is in Nebo, North Carolina, and then there's Morganton, North Carolina, which is the mothership, as I call it. Anyways, the first beer that we're going to talk about is High Like a Dove, which is another one that Tim brought, and this is an Appalachian wild ale fermented with local blueberries and conditioned on vanilla and nutmeg.
And because
6.4%
good old boy Caperton and good old boy Tim were often high like a dove.
That's because we're pacifists. We love peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the store.
All a piece of that.
This is like exactly. So. Yeah.
Of a piece of that joint.
Yeah.
We loved Fauna Flora. You know, they did a lot of sours. They go outside the box. They do a lot of local things. They just do a lot of things that sort of were what drew us into craft beer and in the first place. And so I saw this in the store, and then also it says High Like a Dove, and you know, Sparky alluded to the army portion, and outside of, you know, wanting to do terrible violent things to Nazis.
Yeah.
He was, you know, Dave Caperton was a tall giant.
He was a man of peace.
Pacifist.
Yeah.
Nazi.
Maybe not a
robots.
Pacifist, but loving and gentle like a dove, a giant dove. So
yeah. Giant big, bearded big, biker giant, looking dove.
I don't know. I didn't see the vanilla and nutmeg, so I'll see if I actually like this beer. But I'll say that.
Actually, I think the vanilla adds a nice soft undertone to it.
I can appreciate them trying new things. And so
it's a berry explosion, but it has elements where it's been tempered and kind of soft, you know, on it. So, I mean, we've had, you know, so many other things that are in this style that are very, you know, acid forward and very attacking and just kind of overwhelm your palate. This has just really good balance, you know, between, you know, everything that's kind of going on. And it really is the component of a little bit of sugar.
This is
kind of coming around.
This
and
is
saying,
where somebody would have jammed a whole buttload of lactose into it.
And so,
and kind of effed it
blueberries
up.
Blueberries tend to do that, kind of rein things in because they have enough sugar to kind of, you know, compete with. And even after it's been destroyed by, you know, most of the lacto that you would place on this, there's enough residual sugar to hang around to kind of, you know, balance it all out. So I really, I love this. This is a great example of excellent timing more than anything. If you had had this, you know, 3 years earlier or even 2 years later from now, I think you would have been missing, you know, the moment of great balance.
What do you think about it, Sparky?
I'm always a big fan of blueberries. I feel like, yeah, I mean, it's really nice, fruity, balanced. I think I'd want to drink one of these before I beat up some Nazis after, like, putting my pacifism aside.
Fair. Yeah, how about you, JB?
For a second.
I think it's great. What I like about it is that the vanilla isn't overpowering. You're getting this nice, slightly acidic blueberry, and the nutmeg at the end is just like perfect.
I didn't get the nutmeg at all. I mean, yeah. I got the blueberries and vanilla, but
I got some nutmeg. Spices, yeah, I got some.
It
nutmeg
reminds
right
me
end.
Of like a blueberry pie or a tart or something. Kind like
of. It's, it's got those, like more allspice for me, but you know, there are some just general baking spices I think on the back end of this that are there. Sure.
It's an Appalachian wild ale. And aside from saisons, American wild ales, what Capers and I would always drink.
Yeah. Well, we are going to rate High Like a Dove a 4. Now, last but certainly not.
Can we tell the whole hotel story? I got.
We're going
this.
To. So while we pour this beer, we'll tell the story. So
yes,
Tim, tell us what happened, buddy.
Yeah, Tim.
So Fauna Flora, they were having this festival. State of origin. And so what it was is that at least one of the beers that you brought.
What it was was that.
You had to have at least one beer that you brought as the brewery that included, state of origin. And so back then it was a lot harder. Now we have a little more regional malt houses and things like that.
But can't put that much BS into a bottle.
Yeah. I mean, mostly it was fruit.
But
they got some really cool places that we'd never heard of, like Arizona Wilderness, Plan B.
People brought corn, you know, stuff with corn from their state, or honey, like Plan B and that kind of thing.
Heirloom rice that was, you know, from South Carolina. It was really neat way to just showcase local agriculture. But I mean, this was, I don't know, 2018 or 17 or something.
I think 17.
You know, Fauna Flora was ahead. And Fauna Flora put on this festival is what we're saying. They were ahead of their time.
Yeah. And we were really looking forward to this. So you came out there. Did you drive out early, or you were hanging out with your family?
I think we all drove together, but I met up with my brother there.
That's what it was.
My younger brother and his girlfriend.
Okay, gotcha. And so Caperton was going to stay with us.
They were both going to stay with us.
We were all going to crash in the same hotel room.
A couple of roll-out beds.
Morganton, North Carolina. There's two hotels, maybe just this one day's.
And we booked it early.
And there's a whole beer festival. So everything's sold out. And we booked early.
Yeah. And we booked this super early, and we asked for two rollout beds.
Yep. For me and Caperton.
Right. And at the time, it was confirmed in the itinerary that we asked for two rollout beds.
Let me just say, I was the one who I grabbed a rolling cart, and I came in last from the van.
This is before the festival.
Yeah.
Right.
So we were not drunk.
We got there early. I walk into the lobby, I hear Caperton say, "No, you're an asshole."
Environmental byproduct.
So, I mean, I didn't realize you were late. Julie, correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, the person in front of us, the owner person running this hotel, was giving her the business about something. He was being kind of an a-hole.
He was being a jerk.
To her.
And he was saying, there's no way you could have asked for this. And I'm showing him on my phone.
Well, I think even before that, he was being an a-hole to a customer. And right away, Caperton's like, I don't like this guy. And I'm not going to put up with his BS. And he escalated that situation from a 3 to a 10 in about 30 seconds.
Long story short, we had to find different hotels.
Kicked out of the hotel.
So Julie and Caperton and I stayed in a hotel about a half hour away.
And I slept on the floor of my brother's hotel room.
Which was terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Hey, look online for our rating of this last beer, okay?
Okay. But anyways, the beer that we were going to talk about is the Fauna Flora Brine Oyster Saison, which is something that we talked about at the festival.
And something we've all drank with Caperton.
Yes, we have.
And it has unspecified other sea creatures.
The label warns that it might have unspecified other sea creatures in it.
2017, who knows? Okay.
Feel the pirate ducking coming on.
Good old boy, Mike. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for enjoying this excellent episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy, Sparky. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, man. It'd be great to have one last big old Caperton hug because he was 1.5 times bigger than me.
Yes.
Good old boy, Sparky. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for Tim.
Oh, my
Tim.
God.
For good old boy. Good old boy Tim. That's good old boy Tim. We'll wear name tags next time.
I'll wear a name tag. Yeah. Well, it's great hanging out. Always great drinking good beer with good people.
Oh, gosh. And
it was double good having right. Sparky here.
Fine. Good old boy Dave. Say goodbye.
Everybody. Bye.
This is good old pal Juliana. Keep on chuggling. Catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.